Is this normal? It's probably nothing serious. Maybe I'll feel better tomorrow.
Emergency symptoms can be good at hiding. That's why you shouldn't ignore symptoms like chest pain, high fever, trouble breathing, or severe stomach pain. They could be a medical emergency in disguise. Thankfully, an Eastside ER is ready to serve you 24/7 with fast wait times and dedicated ER experts, so we can quickly help turn your questions into answers. Visit eastsidemedical.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett studio inside the Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio is cared for by Eastside Medical Center, providing quality care to Gwinnett County and the greater Atlanta area for over 38 years.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio in the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I'm Mike Salmond. I gave Steve and Julian the day off, although Trey is still here behind the wall there, spinning all the dials. Glad you could join us on this episode. We've got some great guests. Before we introduce you to the guest, I want to remind you that, as you just heard on the open, that Gwinnett Business Radio is cared for by Eastside Medical Center. Quality care close to home. Eastside Medical Center has been a community healthcare leader for over 39 years, nationally recognized for patient safety. Eastside focuses on delivering quality care with exceptional outcomes by utilizing the most advanced technology and experienced physicians. For more information on Eastside's system of care, visit eastsidemedical.com. Our guest on the program today, we are joined by Jerrica Ray Whitlock and Greg Kerr from Global One Village, and Solomon Sogunro from Inner Touch Digital Marketing. I'll get that better later when we get to you, Solomon. Okay. But we'll start with Jerrica Ray Whitlock and Greg Kerr with Global One Village. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Tell us about Global One Village, and I know you guys are partnering with the United Nations, and you're actually from New York, but you're here in town for the big Super Bowl coming up. But talk about Global One Village and what you guys do.
Yes. Global One Village is going to be a driving force for social impact during the Super Bowl week in Atlanta. Global One Village is an anchoring mix of industry conferences, festival, exhibition, and we're promoting the world's most creative thought leaders in Atlanta, January 28th through February 3rd. And we have multiple locations in the city, Loudermilk Center being one. We seek to encourage everyone to participate and to be aware of connectivity and oneness, and we are utilizing major sporting events as an anchoring tool to bring awareness to Global One Village. Global One Village is a world's fair for sustainability. We're focused on accelerating the United Nations 17 Sustainable Development Goals and doing that in a nice series of fun events. Our goal is not only to entertain, but to also explicitly activate the world in support of the SDGs, to bring together the entire globe in celebration of the power of sports, entertainment, and service to others as a means of accelerating a positive humanity for our children, for our people of today, and our people of tomorrow.
So you do these events all over the country, and you tie them into other events like here in Atlanta, tying it into the Super Bowl, and these are open to anybody to attend?
Yes, and you can find your RSVP on GlobalOneGameVillage.com.
GlobalOneGameVillage.com.
Yes.
What will people find, Greg, when they come to these events?
Right, so like Jerrica said, she's put this together to help promote the SDGs, or the Sustainable Development Goals. And that's where my role comes into this, is I've built 8 electric grids in Africa that run off renewable resources. And so we're kind of coming to this message that there is a corporate responsibility on how our businesses impact humanity and our environment, and how our governing systems are kind of influenced by corporate governance. And so that's what I think the message is. We have a lot of business leaders and sustainability leaders coming in to talk about the future economies, what it means for our labor force here in the United States with new technologies coming in, what it means for developing countries, you know, as things grow and economies start booming with this new tech world that we're using. So it's I think viewers or visitors can expect a really live discussion about some really global or top global issues, and you'll be around some really big problem solvers.
And Global One Game Village, this is a collective of many, many, many partners, many collaborators, world leaders. We've all come together to make this possible and present it to the world and kick it off here in Atlanta. And we're in association with Global Partnerships Forum, Public Foundation, City of Atlanta, the Sustainable Development Goals, SAP, Andrew Young Foundation, ACOIN, Crown Strategy Group and Blockchain Commission, and Ray Group International. But more so, we seek to encourage everyone. This is a message of unity here. Mm-hmm. Unity driving that impact. So all businesses, all collaborators, you know, we're seeking to welcome you into the village. Come see what we're doing. Get really excited about it. And let's see how things can roll over into Atlanta post-Super Bowl.
You talk about unity, and of course, you mentioned Global One Village. So of course, just that it assumes everything comes together. What are the UN's Sustainable Development Goals? I mean, is there more to it than just that? I mean, do you want to unwrap that a little bit more?
No, absolutely, yes. So the SDGs stem out of the Millennial Development Goals that were signed in the 90s. And these goals started to address poverty and inequality and certain issues. They fell short of some of their goals, but one of the interesting outcomes was they took global poverty from 39% down to about 16% in about a decade and a half. So there are measurable differences in the way we do aid, right? Like in the 70s and 80s, we kind of dished out aid almost as a political tool to up dictators and things like that. Right now we actually have some, you know, measuring of our impact and how we spend money, and that has had real impact globally. So there's a new realm of goals that 193 nations on the planet have signed to address. And there's 17 of them, of everything from life on land to health and well-being, equality and justice. And what we're doing is trying to put a corporate push onto those goals to say, hey, it's not only governments, right, that have to dictate how society operates, that there's a corporate responsibility on how we conduct business among ourselves that have a bigger impact than government. And that's kind of a good theme, right, to see if we're tying these businesses in to the way that human commerce is pursued and then how we have that impact on each other and on the planet. So that's where we are bringing in with small business, our good business angle into these global goals, because you kind of hear global goals, it sounds overwhelming that this is countries, right, you know, and nation states. But what can I do locally? What can I do in my own business?
Exactly. And so, why would the local person care?
Exactly. And what call to action is there for a local person? You hear about these great things, sounds awesome, but what can we do, especially in our businesses? And these are the discussions we can have there.
Okay. Well, I know you guys are busy. You've been in town for how long now? Have you been in the Atlanta area?
About a week.
So you're going to get another week or two to go.
Exactly.
Talk about the events that are going on. I mean, it's not just one thing. You've got multiple things going on that Jerrica Ray mentioned at the beginning.
Yes. We've got lots of discussions. We've got breakout sessions. We've got panels. We also have a couple of after parties that you can find out and get their location and special RSVP on globalonegamevillage.com.
So people just need to really go to that website that you mentioned, globalonegamevillage.com, and
absolutely,
see everything that's going on.
You're
going to
be able to see your pre, your post events, including the concerts, the fairs, the family-friendly outdoor festivities for Super Bowl broadcast. So, you know, we're going to have some good celebrity interviews. We're going to have some TED-style Global One talks, like I said, panel discussions, and really a lot of global thought leaders. We're going to be talking about sustainability, innovation, and social impact.
That's kind of cool, too, because the general public typically doesn't get to hear some of this kind of talk or discussion all the time, unless you're a world leader or you're in some kind of organization, and this is open to the public to come and check it out. Let's talk about you guys and your backgrounds. Very interesting, and we'll start with you, Jerrica, as far as your background and what led you to Global One Village and how you ended up where you are today.
Okay. I own Ray Group International. We are the only company in New York that brands specifically for social impact.
How come you don't have a New York accent?
I'm from Toledo, Ohio.
Okay.
I'm from Toledo, Ohio, and I originally moved to New York City to pursue arts career. And I did a lot of wonderful things in the arts and was inspired by fundraising events and really getting people involved in what the arts community had to offer as far as social impact. So that was my first real spark. My company originally was kind of a media consulting company, and I wanted to take it a step farther. I wanted to see how we could really integrate branding and social impact and make it mainstream. You know, how do we kind of remove the philanthropy out of it, that narrative out of it? How do we now associate ourselves, all of us, as humanitarians? How can we do that? That's through social impact, taking care of yourself, taking care of the people around you, and taking care of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And every time you pick up something to drink it, or you see a sign in the distance, or you've got your logo somewhere, hopefully when they see it, they'll think of good things that you're doing. They'll think of the positive drive that you're creating in this world.
Where did this caring come from? What were your influences?
I'd say my number one influence as far as, I guess, just sticking to it is my mother. My mother was diagnosed with myasthenia gravis in 2005, and she went to work every single day because she had a passion for her students. She taught special education, behavioral students,
mm-hmm.
and no matter if she was sick as a dog in the morning, she said to me, you know, I've got to get there for them. And she went, and she did it. And it wasn't until 2 years ago when she suffered a stroke that, you know, that ended her career there, but her heart is still there. So that was my first real inspiration for, if you have something that
right.
captures your heart, that inspires you to do something a little greater than yourself, go ahead and do it, and do it with the fullness of your integrity. So that was my first. I went to an art school called Toledo School for the Arts. We're a very highly revered charter school, up in the top five for the nation for arts. We raised a lot of money as far as moving our school from going to the basement of a telephone building to buying multi floors of the telephone building, then moving our awesome arts collective, our art school, to the Ford building in Toledo, which was quite an expense. But we learned, you know, there's a lot that goes into creating schools and creating funding, and we learned that really young.
Right.
And so I got a chance to see how to engage people in what I was doing by utilizing art as a driving force. So now that I'm, you know, fast forward into branding, I again am utilizing art as a driving force for impact. So,
Greg, something tells me you're not from Toledo.
Right.
Sounds like, from the little discussion we had before the show, a little bit of a world traveler. Talk about your background and what you've been doing and how you got to where you are today.
Right. And so, Jerrica, as my boss lady, it's a really unique union because I have this more defense background where, you know, I was in some of the cleanup of after 9/11 at the Pentagon. I was a young Marine at that time. And after 9/11, you know, my life just kind of went on this whirlwind. And I had a whole career in the government, two tours in Iraq, three tours in Afghanistan. And my last tour in Afghanistan, I lived with a Navy SEAL platoon inside an Afghan village for 6 months. And so me and a couple of those guys started a company. You know, I left the Pentagon and, you know, they got out of the Navy. We started this company down in Colombia, you know, to like, we were actually training women for frontline operations, to help kind of like reduce human rights violations, being, you know, gender balance, right? If you had a platoon of Colombians going into a village and half were women, less rape and pillage, you know, more kind of like equal rights for women, stuff like that. So we were doing that, and the Ebola outbreak hit West Africa. And so pop on over there. We start building these hospitals throughout rural Liberia. We stomp out, we help, you know, everybody stomps out Ebola. And then we started picking up some contracts to build electric grids that run off renewable resources. So at the moment, my company in Africa is, we're building our eighth electric grid running off renewable resources in West Africa. And since then, I've been working on software to manage these decentralized grids, you know, in this new way of kind of looking at an energy grid system, which took me up to the UN, and that's where I met Jerrica at the last UN General Assembly. And it's something that I learned through all my combat tours is we were never able to engage and really reach the people, right? That's why we're still in Afghanistan and Iraq is what it is today. But through artists, I found a penetration point into getting into influence, and this has just been a really great way to problem solve globally by using art and engagement as a way to build common ground. And so this is a unique marriage that we're coming down here and doing, where we're talking about these really important global issues, but because of the art framework that we're allowed to bring here, it makes it more palatable to a lot more people. So I really appreciate Jerrica's access and all the work that she does, because it really does give me a stage to work with these global leaders and put everything into a context where we can make change. And one of the biggest things I think we've done now with our computer code is we feel like we've been able to change business to where doing right by people and finding balance within the environment are the most profitable ways of doing business, and not just at an expense. Right. So, you know, we feel like we're at that pendulum point, or that crux in business now, that cooperation is going to trump competition. We have a feeling that, you know, as a better management of resources, we can reduce conflict through economics, you know. And so these are messages that, although it's cased in kind of like art and things like, yeah, I'm starting to find like everybody on the political spectrum is starting to see that there is a role for business and corporate governance that keeps it outside of the political divisions, not only in our country, but in the developing world. And so that's what we hope to show, that we can make money by producing order and peace around the world.
Wow, that's impressive. So Greg, you know, 2-3 tours, fighting Ebola, traveling the world. Mike, what are you doing? Doing a podcast. Holy cow. Great stuff. Appreciate your service, first of all, and just sounds like you got a great partner here, Jerrica, as far as, I mean, you two are, you know, together can do so much, and you are doing so much with Global One Village. Give the website again as we wrap up the interview here about where people can go and get all the information about all the things going on in Atlanta, plus for those that listen to this podcast after the first part of February, after the Super Bowl, because obviously podcasts are out there forever. There are other things going on that you guys are doing, so is that the same website they should go to whenever they want to find out about anything going on with Global One Village?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So it's globalonegamevillage.com, and you'll be able to see all of your posts, pre-events. We've got concerts, we've got fairs, we've got family-friendly outdoor festivities, we've got your post-Super Bowl parties, and then we've got our TED-style global talks. We'll be having those post-Global One Village Super Bowl Atlanta as well.
Sounds great.
So look forward, and maybe we'll have one on the show.
There you go.
All right. You
guys are going to be pretty busy for the next week or so.
Oh, yes.
Next couple of weeks. Great. Well, best of luck with everything, and thanks for taking the time to come by and
Thank
stop by the studio.
Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Greg Kerr and Jerrica Ray Whitlock with Global One Village here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Before we move on to our next guest, I want to let you know about our studio partner, and that is Subaru. Love is what makes a Subaru. Get big savings and enjoy our hassle-free experience. Subaru of Gwinnett, where people sell cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in and see the difference. If you're already a Subaruist like I am, then follow Subaru of Gwinnett, the Facebook page, for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. And now joining us here on the program is Solomon Sogunro with InnerTouch Digital Marketing. Good morning, Solomon.
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
I'm not sure how we top Greg and Jerrica there, but we'll do our best.
That seems really, really difficult right now.
Yeah, but you're doing some great work too. InnerTouch Digital Marketing. Before we get specific with some questions, tell us about what your company does. Give us a broad overview.
Well, so InnerTouch Digital Marketing, we basically help small and medium-sized businesses compete with larger companies such as Amazon and the Walmarts. We're trying to be the champion for the small business guy, basically, the mom and pop shops.
Well, today with social media and everything, it kind of levels the playing field somewhat. In the old days, you had to have a lot of money to do marketing, but now the field's maybe a little bit more level. Before we talk about that, talk about why you decided to get into the business. Now, you've been doing this for a while, but InterTouch Digital Marketing is a fairly new company, so talk about having your own business.
Yeah, so what led me to this, to start my own company was basically, as you said, I've been doing this for about 10 years since I left college. It came to a point where I saw some of the services and products were very expensive, probably not within reach of the local business owner. So I said, you know what, after a while, it's like, why not just, you know, have a agency that can provide a needed service at a cost-effective price? So I met with a team of folks in Albany, New York, which is sort of the Silicon Valley of the East Coast, and I teamed up with a bunch of programmers, developers, and we have, although they're in remote locations, we actually formed a team together, and we're providing these services to local companies, and basically mom and pop shops, just to make them more competitive.
What got you here in Atlanta?
Well, Atlanta has a booming economy. The real estate is expanding. Lots of folks are coming in, and I, you know, it's an opportunity really to help small businesses not become, how do you say, eclipsed by the larger competitors, larger corporations. So I saw it as a business opportunity to help, and not only to maximize profit, but to help folks as well.
Yeah. Well, with digital marketing just exploding, I mean, look at us, Business Radio X, podcasting and all that.
Yeah.
Social media, everything is internet based these days. Everybody's getting into the game.
Yeah, that is true.
And I know you're sitting down, so I'm glad you're sitting down, because I want to tell you, Solomon, you're not the only digital marketing company out there. You get into a pretty crowded field. What makes you guys a little bit different?
So we're small, we're flexible, and that enables us to customize some of the needs of our clients. So we're able to form unique relationships with them. It's that, you know, we don't have a cookie cutter approach. We really take time to get to know and form a trusting relationship and a trusting bond.
Yeah.
And I think that sets us apart from the larger crowd.
You mentioned at the beginning you like to work with the smaller, mid-sized type companies. And
yes.
And I mentioned, well, you know, these days with the social media and digital media, it kind of levels the playing field. Talk to the small business owner. And for those that are maybe looking at the internet and going, oh, my God, I'm overwhelmed, I don't even know where to start, what would your advice be to them?
Well, It's not as complex as you think, and my advice would be, well, contact us.
There you go.
InterTouch Digital Marketing, and we give free consultations. We give free website assessments. We try to reposition you, and it's really free advice, basically free counsel. Now, if you can't implement some of the things that we say, then you can hire us. But we definitely would give you a roadmap to tell you where you need to be to move beyond whatever business limitations you might perceive. Yeah.
Don't want to give away all the secrets, of course, because we want them to give you a call. But for that one that says, person that says, I don't need to do online marketing. I don't need to do digital media. This Facebook and LinkedIn and all this other stuff, I don't need to bother with that. What are some of the basics that everybody should be doing right now?
Well, to address that point, there are 83% of people globally are actually on Google. They search Google for business services or products. 91% of people who maybe solicit a business, they actually get more information. They get information, first of all, online of the business. 91% are going to Google statistics. So with that being said, it becomes very crucial if you want more visibility, if you want to increase your profits, if you want to really stay in business, you have to have a online presence. You have to have a website. You have to have, access to different digital channels such as YouTube or social media or search engine optimizations. These are essential for the common business owner today.
And it's not expensive. Fairly speaking, it's not expensive to do a lot of these things.
You can do it on your own, but of course, if you really want to compete.
Right.
Money is a means to an end. You have to make money to make, you have to spend money to make money in this capitalistic society. That's just how it goes.
I've heard that before. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So is it expensive? I think the benefit outweighs the cost.
Well, it's not like the old days when, I'm aging myself, when I was a kid and you had like three networks and you had to spend tens of thousands of dollars or hundreds or millions of dollars to get commercials. These days you can do a pretty good, a viral campaign or something and not break the bank at least.
Exactly. And a lot of companies, small and medium sized companies, are actually looking to us because they don't want to hire a whole marketing team to advertise online. I mean, why not just outsource that to a small company as InnoTouch Digital Marketing? Right. We have the Super Bowl coming up. You're gonna see tons of commercials on TV, and not the local mom and pop shop. They can't afford to advertise on television, but you do have access to the internet, and that's and you have billions of viewers, billions of audience members who are potential customers.
Right.
Yeah.
You mentioned earlier that if you're a small company, you could do it yourself. And I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yes.
What are some of the common mistakes that you see when people try to do this and bite it off themselves?
Well, I remember a particular experience. We had one client who, for years, he didn't want to spend any money. And what we learned from that experience was that he overstretched himself. He actually caused more problems, because he focused so much on trying to do something he wasn't versed at that actually impacted his business. So that's some of the implications of trying to, it takes you away from your business. It takes you away from being your own, from having control of your business.
Well, I was going to kind of add to that point is, if you build widgets and all of a sudden you're spending all your time trying to figure out this digital marketing, it's taking you away from building your widgets and selling your widgets.
Exactly.
Producing what you need to produce.
Yes, yes.
Solomon, for those that would like to find out more about InnoTouch Digital Marketing, where can they get more information?
Please, our website is www.innertouchdigital.com.
Great. And before I let you go, Solomon, talk about your background and how you got to where you are today. You said you've been doing this since college.
Yes.
Which college would that be?
Well, I attended Brigham Young University.
BYU.
BYU, yes.
Wow, okay.
In Provo, Utah. After I left college, me and my brothers, we actually started a digital marketing agency. It was a fairly small one. It was a bit pricey, but as college kids, we really were just driven by making money.
Mm-hmm.
But after a while, it dawned on me, especially living in D.C. and seeing the gentrification come through, and seeing a lot of business that I grew up, restaurants that I frequented, just vanish into thin air. I wanted to address that. I said, there has to be a better way. We have to make these tools accessible to the small mom and pop shop. So that's kind of what my drive is right now, because those businesses I grew up, loving, and those restaurants I enjoyed, attending, they no longer exist. So that's kind of my mission, I guess you can say.
You're learning well. As we get older, we all realize it's about taking care of other people and serving others, and good things come your way.
Yes, yes.
Because, we all out of college, we all want to make money. But then we realize, if we really find our passion and follow that, mm-hmm. and do something we love and serve others, that the money will follow sometime. Well, more times than not, it will follow.
Yeah, honestly, I get a fulfillment from helping people, because, a lot of small business owners, they don't understand that, you can actually leverage the playing field with the internet, with online marketing. And it's sad to see a lot of folks struggle, mom and dad, and not have the know-how, because there's only two elements that make a successful business. That's capital and marketing. And definitely on the marketing side, the capital could be, that could be questionable, but the marketing, I don't want folks to think that they don't have access to good online marketing.
Great. And once again, website for people that want to find out more about InnoTouch Digital Marketing.
www.innertouchdigital.com.
Pretty simple. Solomon, thank you very much for joining us, and continued success.
Thank you, Mike.
Solomon Sogunro?
Yes,
with InnerTouch Digital Marketing. Want to thank him for his time. Also, again, to Jerrica Ray Whitlock and Greg Kerr with Global One Village for joining us here on the program. A reminder, you can listen to this show anytime you want, 24-7, 365 days of the year, by going to businessradiox.com, select the Gwinnett Studio, and then you can click on this show, which is Gwinnett Business Radio. By the way, you can click on any of our shows from the studio. We got a whole bunch of them there on the website, but this is Gwinnett Business Radio. And not only can you listen to this show anytime you want, but all our previous 5-6 years worth of shows as well. Want to thank you, our listeners. Want to thank my producer, Trey. For Stephen, he'll be back in the next week. I'm Mike, and we'll see you next time here on Gwinnett Business Radio.